I really believe that one of the things that has made and still continues to make our church so sweet and powerful and so used of God all over the world is the fact that years ago we were put to the test. I mean, I hadn't been there but a few years, and I had started just with the typical pastor's heart of love and reconciliation. And I mean, listen, I still have that heart. I don't go out every day looking for a fight. I don't. But right. I do now go out every day understanding there will be a fight somewhere along the way, because it's spiritual and it's wicked. Paul tells us that in Ephesians 6, our battles against powers and principalities in high places, heavenly realms, wickedness. And so I've experienced that in so many ways firsthand, but I can tell you that my experience of being in law enforcement for 10 years prior, my gosh, at the state prison level and the demonic that went on in there, and then at the street level as an investigator, a patrol officer, and two different sheriff's offices, one of them very large, dealing in the drugs and the perversion and the darkness that goes on with all of that in the criminal element. Brother, I came up. I mean, I have arrested people that spoke in other languages and spoke in different voices. I mean, the demonic, just as a law enforcement officer, but I was a believer in Christ. So I was able to discern. And then when I moved into the realm of pastoring, you're right. A lot of pastors just, I don't think, and I'm not being disparaging, but they don't know, they don't see this, or they've never dealt with it before. Most church members never have, but you know, this is something in my ministry, I don't look for demons under every rock, Jake, and I don't preach on this every Sunday. We don't focus or major on this. We focus and major on Jesus, the gospel, missions, evangelism, outreach, the issues of the day and the biblical, the prophetic times we live in, you know, how to deal with the issues of evolution and homosexuality and gay marriage and all these different things that Christians are wanting to know what the Bible says. That's what we are. We're a church. We stand on the word. We preach the whole word. But our church has lived through some of this stuff, and they understand. They understand the viciousness. And even after that story that I just told, we had many more attacks over the years. Now, they weren't quite as dramatic. We didn't have to turn out worship services and have people arrested. Right. But the leadership of the church, we had to begin kind of weeding things out over the years because people would come and they would try to manipulate, and then they would threaten, you know, leadership. And then we realized what we were dealing with, and we just nipped it in the bud. I mean, you know, we either were able to bring reconciliation, or we told people, listen, you're going to need to leave. This church is, you can't stay here. Not if you're going to unleash this demonic filth upon us and the leadership. So, you know, and you're right. I mean, people would say, oh, well, you know, the leadership of that church is crazy. Not these people. Look, I don't know how it is in all the other denominations, evangelical denominations, but in Southern Baptist, the average lifespan of a pastor's ministry is about 4, maybe 5 years. It used to be like 2, 2.5 years. So it's gone up a little bit. But I'm convinced, not all, now please hear me, not all.
Yes,
I'm convinced a good chunk, based upon my 30-something years of ministry now and preaching all over the United States and in several other countries and continents, talking to pastors in other cultures, in other places of the world, and all over the United States, I hear stories like this over and over and over. Mm-hmm. And I'm convinced that one of the reasons why there's such a quick turnover among pastors is because these kinds of things happen. They're confronted with them, and either they don't know how to deal with it, or they're terrified of it, and or they do know what it is. They know how to deal with it, but they can't get their church or their leadership to deal with it with them. They can't get the power structure of their church. Sometimes the power structure of their church is connected to the demonic, maybe through Masonic connections. We'll talk about that in a moment, because boy, that was a wide open thing that I dealt with even at the national level, starting first in my church. But I'm convinced that's why there's just so much turnover and so much turmoil in so many churches, because wherever the kingdom of God sets up, the kingdom of Satan is going to try to set up in the midst of it. When I and the leadership around me, when we have stood up to rebellious demonic spirits in our midst, working through people over the years, over the decades. So mm-hmm. this is not something that happens every week at our church. I mean, just a handful of experiences in 30 years, but still it's enough that I've got stories to tell. But one of the things that I have recognized is the truth you just said. And that is, so you deal with one of these rebellious spirits and they trash and lie and malign and attack and rebel and squeal and holler, but they're always blaming the fact that we took a biblical stand. In other words, they will literally say, they don't use these words, but their argument is, you wouldn't let me practice my filth in your midst, therefore you're being judgmental. And therefore, that's why I've attacked you. I mean, it's so demonic. The thinking is so perverted. And that comes from Satan. You're absolutely right. So, I think in my case, and I give all praise and glory to the mm-hmm. Lord, there's no pretentiousness on my part, no braggadociousness. I'm just saying with complete humility, I think one of the reasons I've been able to be there for 30 years with a powerful ministry is that we stood up and I had good men around me, women too, mm-hmm. but I mean the leadership of our church, good men who stood around me and their wives and the women of the church, good godly women with them, and defended their pastor. As long as I stood in the word in a loving way and mm-hmm. but yet firm, and they defended and they supported, that gave me the ability to do what was right regardless of the price. I mean, they're amazing. I mean, they're like lay associate pastors. They're in the hospitals, they're in the nursing homes. Every time there's a tragedy or a death in our church, they're the first people there ministering mm-hmm. and representing the church and the pastoral staff. I do a lot of traveling. I'm blessed to be on TV Skywatch and Jim Baker Show and TBN. And so I travel from coast to coast, and so when I'm gone, man, the deacons, I mean, it's like a whole team of pastors. They're just mm-hmm. there. And they, not only do they do that, but again, as long as I'm standing in truth and righteousness, brother, they surround me with a wall of protection. They come to my defense. They come to the defense of mm-hmm. the leadership of the church. So that's an amazing thing. That's the biblical model.
Right.
And when the biblical model is being practiced by a church family, but you have to have integrity-filled leadership now. Right. I mean, it works both ways. So if I was just some jerk that was out to just gratify myself all of these years, they would not be supporting me. But because they see me literally always looking for the betterment of the church, for the protection of the church, right. I don't ever ask them for anything for myself. They mm-hmm. see that. They see the integrity. They've watched it for decades.
Yeah.
And so they surround me and they protect me and they defend me. And that gives me the ability to stand right where I need to stand, to confront the demonic and to lead the church in confronting it. And God has honored that. He's honored those people. He's honored our church. He's honored my ministry. And I think really, Jake, you know, people laugh at me sometimes, say, well, how did you go from being a cop to being a pastor? And my answer is, well, it's a God thing. I mean, I didn't just mm-hmm. wake up one day and decide to be a pastor. When the Lord called me into ministry, I didn't want to go in the ministry. I ran from that calling for 2 years. I was like a modern day Jonah, you know, mm-hmm. until I decided I didn't want to be fish food. And so I just went ahead and surrendered. But I think those 10 years of being a cop, being involved at that level and being inside the state prisons and mm-hmm. in death row and dealing with that and then on the street and being shot at and actually having to return fire and dealing with the hardest of the hard at the street level and the nastiest of the nasty, I think God was preparing me that when I got up against those demonic spiritual battles in the church realm, that I would, number one, I would be able to recognize it, and number two, that I wouldn't automatically fear it. I'm just going to put it in common terms. It's integrity. It's truthfulness. It's righteousness. It's, you know, right living, living rightly. It doesn't mean perfect, but your heart has to be right. Like King David, God says he's a man after my own heart. Didn't mean he didn't mess up, but it meant that he would constantly come back to the Lord, seek God's face, seek God's heart, seek God's will. And God says, I can use a man or a woman like that. I can use a person like that. And so that's the spiritual armor, standing in truth, standing in prayer, standing in righteousness, being a person of integrity. You know, I tell young pastors all the time, look, you can't I say to young pastors, I'm getting to be an old man now, and I've got a lot of experience, and I have a lot that I can give to young pastors. And I tell them, look, 30 years in one place, pastoring a church, I've never been accused of sexual impropriety, for example. Is it because I'm a perfect man with no temptations? No, it's not. It's because from day one, my secretaries will tell you this, my staff will tell you this, my wife will tell you this. 30 years later, I still practice these things. I guard myself in dealings with people. I don't counsel women alone. I don't Right. counsel children alone. I don't counsel, you know, we've got video cameras in our counseling rooms. We've got windows in our doors. There's always somebody there. If I counsel in my home, my wife is here. If I counsel at the church, secretaries or staff are there. People are watching me through the video cameras, all of these kinds of things. And so I tell young pastors, look, if you flirt around with a sexual temptation, for example, mm-hmm. you get involved in counseling women alone, and you're just kind of flirting around with that, not doing anything, just right. kind of flirting around with it. Here's what's going to happen. Satan's going to set you up, mm-hmm. and he's going to come against you with a network. And whether or not you succumb doesn't matter, because when the accusation is leveled,
right.
people will be inclined to believe it, and you will forfeit God's protection because you have flirted and flaunted with it for months or years. Does that make sense? But no, on the absolutely. Other hand, biblically speaking, if you put on the armor and you protect yourself with integrity and righteousness and truthfulness, and you go the extra mile to demonstrate without being look at me, but just demonstrate in your life that integrity. If the accusation does come, God will immediately come to your defense. He will immediately be your refuge. He will guard and he will protect, because greater is he who's in us than he who is in the world.